There are consequences when mankind tries to be like God.
We are going to become gods, period. If you don't like it, get off. You don't have to contribute. You don't have to participate. But if you're going to interfere with me becoming God, you're going to have big trouble.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, we begin a two-part series with Pastor Billy Crone of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and founder of Get a Life Media. Man is trying to play God, is trying to create life, and is trying to rid the world of the need for a Savior. There are terrible consequences to that. We consider Pastor Crone's most recent production on this topic, Hybrids, Super Soldiers, and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. Here is today's programming.
Of course, Jesus makes the loaded statement, right? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And of course, the coming he's talking about is not the rapture, it's his second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But Jesus said it, I didn't, that how do you know it's getting close to his second coming, his return? Well, go back to the days of Noah. And then when you go back to the Genesis account and you see that, in Genesis 6, there was massive wickedness on the planet at that time. In fact, it was so great that that's what instituted God saying, I've had it. Here comes the flood. I'm judging the whole planet. And the only people that are going to survive out of this is Noah and his family, eight people, and the animals that are on the ark. That's it. He's going to wipe everything out. Well, why? Well, there's actually more than one wickedness going on in that text that Jesus said was going to repeat when he comes back again. And the wickedness, certainly general wickedness, and it certainly says that God's heart was grieved because man's, even his thoughts were continually wicked. But the other wickedness that frankly is there, that some people want to skip over, but you got to deal with it, was also a genetic wickedness, dare I say. And mankind was being hybrided out, hybridization, and that was another element of wickedness. Now, people say, well, that's unfortunate back then, and that's kind of freaky and weird, but people don't realize it's being repeated today. And this is what this whole thing is about. That's why we entitle it not just hybrids and not just hybrids and super soldiers that are being hybridized out for military purposes, but the coming genetic apocalypse. Just like there was a genetic apocalypse the first time God judged the planet, it's going to be repeated. And I'm telling you, it's a lot closer than people realize.
Welcome to the program. So, the days of Noah, they're going to return. Now, that's an interesting concept. It's right out of the Bible. And that could have many applications. As that little soundbite indicated, there's an angle not many are thinking about, and that would be the angle of genetic engineering. We've heard about genetic modification of foods. What happens when the goal is to make it happen to animals and to humans? Much of that technology, it's not just future, it's here now. How about cloning human beings and creating human-animal hybrids? Now, this is just one reason the Bible calls the last days perilous. Mankind is trying to play God, and that has serious consequences. Some of you may remember little sheep Dolly back in the late 1990s. I'm going to refresh your memory with this little clip.
Dolly the sheep was a sensation when she first appeared before the world. A scientific breakthrough, fascinating, but also menacing. Dolly was cloned by taking a body cell from sheep A, fusing that cell's DNA with an egg cell with its nucleus removed from sheep B. This fused cell developed into an embryo, which was placed in the uterus of a surrogate mother, sheep C. The resulting lamb, in this case Dolly, is a clone of sheep A. These were Dolly's so-called siblings, identical sisters, all cloned from the same sheep. Professor Kevin Sinclair worked with them and knew Dolly.
It was a step change in our understanding of early development, which ultimately led several years later, in 2006, to the discovery that you can actually induce somatic cells. These are sort of cells that belong to the body to become embryonic-like cells that has the potential to divide into other cell types.
This was Dolly's greatest legacy, advances in what we call stem cell research. The ultimate, but still elusive, goal is to use cloning technology to create healthy tissues which can be transplanted to heal damaged cells and organs. But back in 1997, Dolly seemed to raise more frightening issues. If we can clone a sheep, many asked, why not a human being? Since then, scientists have cloned more than 20 species, including horses and household pets.
I think where we draw the line is if we're going to use genetic manipulations, we have to be extremely careful and we have to look for severe disease effects to control for. Because with a lot of these things, it's not just the person you're doing a genetic manipulation on or potentially cloning, but it would affect all the generations ahead.
So Dolly's brave new world has not quite turned out as predicted. A sheep created like none before her, but she could not escape her own mortality. She died in 2003, now stuffed in a Scottish museum.
We are carrying a new product that talks very extensively about this topic, which, by the way, we're going to broaden the topic for the next program or so. We're carrying Pastor Billy Crone's 16-DVD set titled Hybrid Super Soldiers and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. I want to broaden this even more, at least briefly here, because unless you've been somewhere in a cave, you know that America has been in turmoil. Starting in late May and going on well into June, we have seen unparalleled violence, wickedness, all sorts of things going on that are of a, I would say, almost a demonic nature. Now, does this play into the days of Noah as well? Remember, back in those days, it says in the account in Genesis 6 that there was rampant violence and wickedness. Mankind only thought evil continually. As we've watched some scenes play out in recent weeks in America, and frankly other parts of the world too, but heavily Western world, one would almost have to think that some of the rioting going on is perpetrated by mankind whose thoughts are only wicked continually. So we're going to talk about this and more, and I want to welcome back to the program now the familiar voice of Pastor Billy Crone. Billy, welcome back.
Thank you, Jen. It's always great to be on.
Well, where to start after I've kind of painted that picture there? Let's go for a moment here to the science angle. The whole angle is presented by the scientific community as helpful. After all, we can now create our ideal baby. It will improve society. We now can delete bad memories, and we'll explain more of that as we move along. In other words, this is playing God in the science world. It's being portrayed as a good thing, even though, as you bring out, and I think as we're going to emphasize here, it's going to bring about the destruction of the planet again.
Absolutely. And what they do is they're a master of terminology. The elitists, in different ways, they use buzzwords, code words, to hide their agendas. Because if they're going to come out and say, hey, we're going to radically alter all of humanity in our image, playing God the way that we want them to come out with technology, people would freak out. What they do is they come up with terms like transhumanism, that humans need to use this technology to transcend the limits that we're experiencing and become better. They even use terms like post-human. But they're all basically terms to describe that these people really want to use science and technology right now to alter humanity so that you're no longer human. In fact, many times we have on tape scientists, think tanks, even military experts and military scientists who are behind a lot of this technology. They even repeatedly make this statement, almost tongue-in-cheek, nervously, saying, how far can we push this and there's not going to be any true humans left? It sounds like science fiction. It sounds wild and weird, but it makes sense only when you go back to the Bible and you go back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. As mentioned at the top of the program, it's not just the general wickedness, which I think we could agree is abounding every single day. It just gets worse and worse. But even the ability to make hybrids out of humanity, That is actually being pushed as a good thing.
Let me ask you, Pastor Billy Crone, beyond the basic fact that man is trying to play God, which is very troubling in itself, what other warnings can you give? Why should Christians be concerned, in other words?
First, the big concern is it literally is going to bring about the destruction of humanity and, frankly, life as we know it. Because what these guys are doing, and it's not coming, Jen, it's already here, and this is what we expose. And it's been going on for quite some time. In fact, people might be engaged in certain behaviors that are actually having adverse physical effects on their own body, and they don't even realize it. For instance, they're not just wanting to radically alter humanity, but all of God's creation. And I'm talking, they want to change all the originals of not just humans, but plants, animals, you name it. Some of these terms we've known for a while, but we haven't been able to put it together, so to speak. For instance, you mentioned like genetically modified foods, GMOs. And people say, well, yeah, what's up with that? I keep hearing about that. Well, basically, they're genetically modifying our food source, plants, animals, you name it. And we go into great detail. The problem is, what happens to the human who ingests those things?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we did on a documentary to add legitimacy to it, because it's such a wild topic, is we brought in an actual geneticist, a Christian who's in this field, who even has patents for genetic technology. They came on and basically said, this is really going on. I know it might sound like science fiction, but she shared repeatedly her concerns that this is being done without regulation across the planet.
Yeah.
There is no controls on this. In fact, she's saying it's spiraling out of control. She's saying it is going to radically forever alter humanity, plants, and animals, all of God's creation. Many things, after going down this rabbit trail myself with the research, we know as Christians that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's very clear about that. But after going through this, I'm going, no wonder he's coming back. Not only his wrath, but he has to come back. Because if these people have their way, just like it was in the days of Noah, just like the scientists today are actually saying, there aren't going to be any true humans left. And not only no true humans, but no true animals or even plants.
Let's stop there. What I want to do, and I'm going to be playing some clips, quite a few in fact, and they're all from your presentation titled Hybrids, Super Soldiers, and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. And I want to introduce the concept of a chimera, but then I want to follow that up with the concept of CRISPR. And folks, we'll explain all of this. And if you aren't the brightest bulb in science, I'm one of those, okay? I avoided science every opportunity I had. I avoided science because it's not my strength. We're going to try to keep it simple so that you can understand some of these concepts and what's going on without the deep scientific jargon. This introduces the concept of the chimera, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Our relationship with animals is really, really complicated. Some animals we keep as pets and companions. And some we eat. Some try to eat us. We drink their bodily fluids. We mix their bodily fluids with bacteria and then let it ferment. Then we eat it with their meat, or their reproductive cells. We grind up their bones and put it into lipstick and makeup. We use their skin for our hats and jackets and shoes and bondage gear and sporting goods and fancy chairs. And of course, we mix our cells into their embryos to create chimeras that will grow new human body parts for transplantation. That last one's new. Whether you realize it or not, we're in the middle of a medical crisis. In the U.S. today, roughly 115,000 people are waiting for an organ transplant. 22 people die every day, waiting for an organ that never comes. But these are just numbers. Let's talk about a person.
When I was 14, my parents took me to a physician, a specialist, and he says, the chances are that people with the disease you have are going to have a very short life. Crohn's disease patients generally tend to live until they're 20 or 21 at the best. He suggested that if there was anything I wanted to do in my life, I better get it done as quick as possible.
This is my dad. He's not 20 or 21, in case you're wondering. And that would be weird, even for this show. His life has been extended time after time, as medical technology has continued to improve. About 4.5 years ago, though, it looked like time was running out. Dad had been on the kidney transplant list for several years, and one day he finally accepted that he might never get one.
I don't think I felt I was going to survive much longer. Well, it wasn't 10 minutes later. We got a phone call asking us to come to a transplant center, and I received from that center a very good kidney, a perfect match.
And now, there's a good chance that Dad might need another kidney. And we're all asking ourselves if he can last another 5 years on a waiting list when the previous wait almost killed him.
We believe that the pig is the perfect model to solve the human organ shortage problem.
Hey, lady, I'm trying to talk about my dad. What does this have to do with pigs?
If 22 people are waiting every day for an organ transplant, we have the ability to use the pig to grow human cells, tissues, and organs. Why wouldn't we give the gift of life to people that are waiting in need?
Oh, well, next time lead with that. This is Tammy Lee Stanek, the CEO of Recombinetics. Tammy and the other folks here are working to develop a way to grow transplant organs for humans in genetically modified pigs. Naturally. Or unnaturally. Not these pigs. These pigs are just delicious breakfast pigs. These are the genetically modified life-saving pigs. And one day soon, pigs like these will have their genome altered and human stem cells inserted into their embryos to create what's known as a chimera.
Chimera.
Chimera. This is Adrienne Watson. She's a scientist.
I'm the senior director of preclinical development here at Recombinetics.
Like I said, scientist.
When we talk about chimeras, we're talking about an organism that's got cells from two different types of organisms. So our pig chimeras, for example, are mainly composed of pig cells, but the organ of interest would be composed of human cells. That's called a chimera.
Okay then, chimera.
Ultimately, we'd like to grow whole organs, livers, kidneys, hearts, corneas.
This is Mitchell Abramson, Chief Commercial and Scientific Officer at Recombinetics.
By providing an alternative method or alternative approach for generating these human tissues, cells, and products today, we really do open the door to some solutions that currently don't exist due to limited supply of available human tissues.
We already have the ability to grow human cells, including blood tissues. We can grow hepatocytes, which are liver cells, pancreatic cells to cure diabetes or to prevent or delay diabetes.
The first step in creating these chimeras that are definitely not man pigs.
Not a man pig. Chimera.
I get it. Chimera.
Yep.
Is to take an embryo and knock out the genes that would normally grow the organ you're looking to replace. Say, a liver. Get out of here, liver genes.
That embryo is then injected with human cells, and those human cells then fill the niche where the pig cells can't. So if the pig embryo is knocked out for a gene necessary for the liver to develop, now the human cells will go in and actually develop the liver in the pig.
Boom. You got a liver. A liver made out of human cells with your DNA. A perfect transplant organ made just for you that won't require you to take a lifetime of anti-rejection and immunosuppressant medications.
The idea of growing a human organ in a pig is something that probably catches people off guard. But if you're one of those people who need a heart, or if you've got a child who needs a liver transplant or a pancreas, if you've got a child who's got some really serious disease, you're looking for solutions.
These pigs are superheroes because they're saving human lives.
Let's not be too terribly glib about this. There's a ton of ethical questions that arise from this idea of mixing ourselves with animals. We're toying around at the fuzzy edges of what actually separates us from the animals we've gotten so creative in utilizing. But we will do it.
You may be wondering, but you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. I have on the line Pastor Billy Crone, who's just put out an incredible series of DVDs, Hybrid Super Soldiers and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. We just played a clip about chimeras. Pastor Billy Crone, what did we just hear?
Well, basically what you heard was, whether people realized or not, it's not coming, it's already here, Jan. Where these same geneticists are not just wanting to modify plants, animals, now humans, but they actually want to combine, and they already are combining, humans with animals. And, of course, that's where you get the term chimera, which is based out of Greek mythology of this animal that was made up of, you know, like a monster with a lion's head and a goat's body and a serpent's tail and what have you. And as crazy as that sounds, that's what they're doing. If you notice by the clip, of course, they have the rationale. As freaky as it is, they have the rationale why we need to combine humans with animals and vice versa. It's going to supposedly fix the organ donor shortage crisis. And there is one around the world. And they're saying this is the healthy alternative, quote unquote, to what is going on. Because of the shortage, as crazy as it sounds, in China, they are harvesting organs from people. Then there's calls for actually cloning people. And most people don't know that the cloning not only did not stop with Dolly, cloning is actually being done to humans. We document that in South Korea, even here in America. And they say, well, we can get it from these clones. And people, that's just inhumane. We can't do that. So here comes the rationale for the chimera. How about if we take human cells and put them in an animal cell, i.e. a pig in this example, it will not just grow a heart. It will be a human heart custom tailored to that person's genetic makeup, which means they won't even have to take rejection medication. What they don't tell you, Jan, with all this technology is they're already admitting there's horrible side effects. Shocker, because God says don't do this. But they said in this example with chimeras, when you put the human DNA into a pig, they can't control the whole outcome. It may very well grow a human heart and probably will, but it won't stop there. One example they gave is there's a propensity for it to go and create a human brain. And then they even laugh with tongue in cheek going, gee, wouldn't that be horrible if we had a human brain inside of a pig?
You raise some of the obvious questions. And again, it's very extensive teaching. Is there any kind of oversight with this? Very little. How about, can we regulate this kind of technology? You raise the objection that these scientists are starting with an evolutionary mindset, and that's permeated the scientific community. They reject God. The last thing they are listening to would be biblical warnings to never go down this road. And the whole premise is that humanity made this mistake back in the early parts of Genesis with Nephilim and all that happened in the Genesis 6 account. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that those days of Noah would come back in the last days. What you're trying to do is indicate how what we're talking about today is the recreation of Genesis 6. Am I right?
Absolutely. And from a scientific point of view, again, as we shared in the Genesis 6 account, there's two levels of wickedness going on there that grieve the heart of God for him to pull the trigger and say, that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to judge this whole planet. It was the general wickedness, the heart of man continually wicked. I think we could all agree that's being repeated today. But it's also the other wickedness with the hybridization of humanity. That, too, is happening. It's not coming. It's happening as well at the same time as this repeat of general wickedness. It's really yet another Bible prophecy sign, albeit a lot of people aren't talking about it, but it's another Bible prophecy sign that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. You had mentioned, Jan, about regulation. This was the other major concerning thing for me. I'm thinking like, man, this is dangerous, obviously, and it's forbidden by God if you read the Bible. What a concept. This was also verified by the geneticist that we have on tape. We got at least about a two-hour interview with her, and she admits what we found in our research is correct. There is no regulation with this technology, as wild as this sounds. In fact, we documented that they were calling in their own industry as far back as the 1970s that we better regulate this because their words were, this is more dangerous than nuclear warfare. At least when they developed the atomic bomb, they immediately realized the damage to humanity that could cause. So the government stepped in and says, nobody in the private industry is going to mess with this. We're going to control this. There's nothing when it comes to genetic modification. In fact, what she said was, it's growing at such an exponential rate, it is now impossible to go back and regulate this because in order to regulate something like this, you have to have a consensus. She says, we can't even get to a consensus because we have so many countries doing this now. It's advancing at such a rate, you can't rope it back in. So basically what's happened is we've let the genie out of the bottle and we can't put it back.
I want to play another clip. And folks, I'm playing a lot of clips. They're all from this presentation. If you're listening on the radio, that's great. But if you'd like to see the clips and you can't get access to the DVDs at this point in time, go to our YouTube channel, Jan Markell Olive Tree Ministries. You can see all these clips. We show them both on our YouTube channel. We show them on our presentation on his channel, hischannel.com. You can actually see these intriguing clips. And again, folks, all of this is presented in such glowing terms. You can have a genetically modified baby. You can manipulate DNA in such a way that you can have a designer baby. Women are going to give birth to genetically modified, perhaps even twins or more. Doesn't this sound appealing? Well, I think some of the aberrations also sounded appealing back in Genesis 6, which is why the comparison is made that we are returning to the days of Noah.
In 2011, scientists created glow-in-the-dark cats. The researchers took a gene from glowing jellyfish and inserted it into the unfertilized eggs of house cats. It was a neat trick, but they had a bigger goal in mind. They also made the cats more likely to be resistant to a feline form of AIDS by, again, manipulating their DNA. So why can't we engineer humans in the same way? Well, we can. Engineer ourselves to be resistant to life-threatening illnesses, that is. In fact, one scientist claims that he's genetically engineered two babies using a revolutionary tool called CRISPR. But what exactly is a CRISPR baby anyway? Would you like to be 6 feet tall or never bald? The secret to traits like these lies in the 6 billion letters of your genetic code. And just like that, you can edit the human genome. But while the edits may be quick, their changes can last for centuries, especially if you're editing the DNA in an embryo. Embryos start out with a single cell that eventually replicates into millions and then trillions more. So if you alter that initial cell first, you're manipulating the ingredients for every cell that follows later in life. And those same altered cells can be passed on from generation to generation. That's one reason why most experiments on human embryos haven't left the lab. That is, except for the work of Dr. He Zhongkwai. He claims to have used CRISPR to target and knock out the CCR5 gene in human embryos, which is linked to HIV infection. And then he did something that shocked the scientific community. He implanted the embryos into several women, one of whom gave birth to genetically modified twins. Resistance to HIV aside, most scientists say the procedure was too risky. At least two studies suggest that edited cells might actually trigger cancer. And another found that CRISPR can accidentally take aim at healthy DNA. So while CRISPR could make us immune to disease, who knows what else we might get on the side.
We'll get into what CRISPR is after I take my midpoint break. But Pastor Billy Crone, if you'd like to comment on what folks just heard, go ahead.
Yeah, it sounds like science fiction. Kind of in a nutshell, CRISPR is a technology that was developed back in 2012. And it literally allows the geneticist to slice and dice the DNA. They can take out an individual strand, put it back together, or they could take out a strand and put another strand of something else in it, including from animals and plants. Basically, it was a technology that gave mankind the ability, unfortunately, to alter on a massive scale anything they want, plants, animals, and humans. As you heard, they're already doing it on people, including babies. What they're not telling you is there's horrible side effects. We can get into those maybe later. It's the danger. Now, it shouldn't surprise us because God forbids this kind of behavior. Right. But why is it happening? It's not by chance, folks. This is another Bible prophecy sign from God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming Son of Man. Even the hybridization of God's creation is happening again.
You can learn a lot more at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Let me just say quickly that we're carrying this product. It's a 16-DVD set, Hybrids, Super Soldiers, and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. Pastor Crone, how many teachings, actually?
32 hours total.
32 hours on 16 DVDs. Find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. Give my office a call. Find it in my print and e-newsletter. When I get back, I want to talk about another angle of the days of Noah going on. We've seen it going on in late May and early June here in this incredible year of 2020. Who would have thought in January 2020 would spin out of control like it has, but that is this increase of violence, lawlessness, anarchy that we have seen. And doesn't that remind you of the days of Noah as well, where they only thought evil continually? They only thought about wickedness and violence and anarchy. More on that in just a moment. Don't go away.
We love friendly feedback. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. You can find today's featured product in our online store, along with two dozen other cutting-edge items. More in a moment with Pastor Billy Crone and Jan Markell. Jesus prophesied that during the tribulation, there would be a return to the days of Noah. Noah's generation saw genetic manipulation, and we are seeing that taking place today, even before the onset of the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation. The depth and depravity of such genetic tampering during that dispensation, from which the church is absent, is staggering. Learn more in Pastor Billy Crone's new 16-DVD, 32 teaching set, Hybrids, Super Soldiers, and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse, found in our online store and print magazine. Jan Markell is a featured guest in this extensive presentation. Mankind is trying to recreate all life forms on our planet today, including recreating humans, but not in the image of God. This is indeed a genetic apocalypse. This is one study you can't afford to ignore if you want to understand the times and be watchmen on the wall. Visit our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
If you create a crisis, you can manage the outcome. You also have to instill a constant state of fear in people. Why? Because people are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than in peace. That worked real well for quite some time with this virus, and they got to advance their agenda. Well, it started to wind down. What are we going to do now? Well, you got to whoop up something else.
We don't present information such as today's programming to scare you, but to prepare you to fight an end-time battle for truth and for biblical values as society tries to tear down God and His image in these last days. Here is Jan Markell and Pastor Billy Crone of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas to wrap up today's programming.
Many may consider lighthearted, but others find very controversial as well. Barbara Streisand revealed in an interview with Variety that her two new puppies are actually clones of her dog Samantha, who passed away in 2017. Before Samantha passed, Barbara had cells taken from the dog's mouth and stomach for replicating purposes. Streisand said, "They have different personalities. I'm waiting for them to get older so I can see if they have her, Samantha's brown eyes and seriousness." The dogs are named Miss Violet and Miss Scarlet.
It's a little creepy, I think. And I don't know, as a parent, I'm sitting here thinking, there's this process that you go through with your kids when their pet dies, of teaching them about death and cherishing relationships and memories and moving on. And I don't know, what do we teach our kids? Well, if Miss Piggy dies or Fido dies, we'll just make another one. So,
this technology's there. It's her right. She can afford it. It's her decision. It's her thing.
It is her thing. Are there any legal ramifications of this potentially?
Yeah. It deals with really tough ethical issues. You can clone a dog, that means you can clone a human being.
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if next season we're on the stage talking about someone who wants to clone
instead of being frozen, well, just clone them. And then just bring them back now.
And then is it the good people that get cloned? Just the rich people? You know, who has access to
this technology?
Honestly,
I will be so ethically challenged, I'm just going to shut it down. That's when I'm officially going out into the woods somewhere, finding a cabin.
To be continued.
I'll adopt two dogs and we'll just do our thing.
And when they die, you'll let them just be dead, right?
Well, it is an intriguing topic. Is mankind playing God? I kind of think so. And that has serious consequences. And it had consequences back in Genesis 6, days of Noah. Why don't you sign up for my various newsletters, print and e, where we talk about these topics, also offer some of the products in the print and e newsletter. We're very active on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can find us also at hischannel.com, and lightsource.com. Let me just quickly move into some more aspects of what we want to talk about this hour. And I indicated going out of the first segment that I wanted to reference some of the lawlessness that we saw late May going into early June. I've not been able to comment until now, and that's because of some programming issues. And by the way, some of my cities got the same program twice in a row. Folks, that's not us. We don't ever air the same program two weekends in a row. That's a station glitch, which we have no control over whatsoever. So apologies when that does happen, and that did happen here in the last couple of weeks. So I've not been able to adequately comment on the rioting, the general turmoil of our time, and I'm in the heart of it. The rioting that began Memorial Day in Minneapolis, Minnesota, probably some 20 minutes from where I headquarter. It's been a terrible, terrible ordeal. Quite frankly, Minneapolis-St. Paul is now looking like a war zone. Some sections of the Twin Cities are boarded up, burned down, hundreds of businesses destroyed. I'm only speaking of the Twin Cities. This is going on in about 150 locations. That was end of May into early June. Pastor Billy Crone, let me just throw this to you, because we can take this kind of behavior back to Genesis as well, the days of Noah. You read the text there, we see that violence was at play continually. Evil was being thought about continually. My hunch is anarchy was being thought about continually. They probably just didn't have some of the technology and more modern issues that we are dealing with today as it concerns the spread of their ideology of evil, wickedness, lawlessness, and anarchy.
The Genesis 6 account, Jan, mentions a precursor from Jesus, as it was in the days of Noah, So shall it be at the coming Son of Man. How do you know it's getting close to Jesus' return? when you see a repeat of Noah's day. And the two wickednesses that are mentioned there, primarily we've been dealing with the first one mentioned, and that is the hybridization of humanity. But it does mention what we're also seeing in the news constantly, this violent, righteous behavior and the hatred, and not just with the people who are doing these things, Jim, but also the wickedness of the people who are allowing this to happen.
Absolutely.
On purpose. In fact, the Bible warns about what happens when you do this. It's always going to create trouble. Let me give you two passages real quick. Ecclesiastes 8:11, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, "When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong." When you don't come down on this behavior quickly, it is going to do nothing but get worse. The people are going to get emboldened and do it more and more. And that's why Solomon also said in Proverbs 21:15, he says, on the flip side, when justice is done, it not only brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. In other words, they know, man, these people ain't messing around, and it puts a stop to it. This is not even just being done, it's being purposely done. That is a whole other level of wickedness. Why would you purposely want to destroy your society? Why would you purposely want to hurt people physically and just stir up trouble in the country? And again, that's a whole elitist, big brother, globalist issue. That is a level of wickedness that we are seeing that I believe is a repeat of Noah's day.
Yes.
So it's still on topic. The Bible also mentions this kind of behavior in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when Paul says, "But mark this, there's going to be terrible times in the last days." And he goes through a whole list there of rotten behaviors. And some of the things he mentions there is people are not just going to be proud and boastful, but abusive and disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without self-control, brutal. And tell me that's not what's going
right
on as well.
We went from, obviously, the catastrophe of a virus that overtook the whole world, and I've mentioned this on air before, that it affects between 6 and 9 out of 100,000 people, and yet the whole world was shut down over that. But we went from that catastrophe to businesses, catastrophe to people's livelihoods and things they'd worked for all their lives. We moved right from there into entire cities losing blocks and blocks of livelihoods, lifetime worth of work being wiped out in one night of rioting. And you also have to wonder, too, Pastor Billy Crone, and he is my guest for the hour. He'll join me again next week as we talk a little bit more about the hybrids and the super soldiers and the coming genetic apocalypse. You have to wonder, was this orchestrated? I don't know that we know. I mean, you and I talk about how the globalists are trying to establish instability, because with instability they can get their system up and running, which they've been trying to do since Babel. Hasn't been very successful. They will get 7 ignominious years during the tribulation. But I think our point is we see the setting of the stage for the tribulation.
Oh, absolutely. And it's already been demonstrated that the people that are being arrested and have been arrested, they're not even from these actual cities, a lot of them. So that tells you that it's being done on purpose. That's wicked behavior and a repeat of Noah's day. I don't think it's by chance the timing, Jan, as you had mentioned. So here we go through this virus, and if you're a globalist and elitist, and that's a whole other topic, why are they doing this to our country? Why are they trying to install these big brother things, shut down the American economy, make Trump look bad? Well, because their goal is to take over our country, amongst other things. Right when you started to see the rhetoric for the virus to start wind down, what wound up? This righteous behavior. I personally, Jan, don't think that's my chance. Part of it is learning for years myself in research with these globalist behavior is there's certain things that they rely upon. What they do is the axiom, if you create a crisis, you can manage the outcome. You also have to instill a constant state of fear in people. Why? Because people are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than in peace. That worked real well for quite some time with this virus, and they got to advance their agenda. Well, it started to wind down. What are we going to do now? Well, you got to whoop up something else. And then as far as the righteous behavior and all that stuff, another thing that the elitists rely upon, especially here in America, is they have to keep us constantly divided and hating each other. The reason why, Jan, is these elitists, by very definition, the term elite, that means a small number, certainly in comparison to the world's population and even the population in our country. They're afraid of our numbers. They know that we will overwhelm them. And they also are afraid of not just our numbers, but of us ever finding out and our ever coming together as Americans united against them, because we'll put a stop to them lickety-split. So what do? They constantly instill things purposely in our society to keep us divided. They use division to conquer us. And I'm telling you, I think that this is just yet another tactic to advance their agenda and to keep us Americans separated from each other. They want us hating each other. They want us focusing on skin color instead of truth. They don't want us to look at what these globalists are doing. And as long as we're busy over here in a corner fighting and beating each other up, they're laughing.
They also want to elect an ardent liberal in November and take out President Donald Trump. I want to go back to the hybrids, the super soldiers, and the coming genetic apocalypse, because that really is our focus for this week and next. I wanted to insert the little caveat that we did, because to me it's so obvious. When you start seeing rioting, rebellion, anarchy, lawlessness, by the way, Billy Crone, and he is my guest both this weekend and next weekend, if we think what we've watched is bad, you haven't seen anything yet until you get to the tribulation, from which the church is absent. But this is just a little teaser, what we've been seeing here in the last few weeks.
Absolutely, in a multitude of angles. But if you think people's riotous, ungodly, angry, murderous, brutal behavior is bad now, this is child's play.
Well, it's child's play because the restrainer is still here. The restrainer is gone during the tribulation. So there are no holds barred. Folks, you do not want to be here for the tribulation time, and you will not be here for that if you name the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to move on to CRISPR. I'll play a little clip here that introduces CRISPR. Again, folks, we're trying to keep the science to a level that will keep it simple. And when we come back from this clip, I'll have Pastor Billy Crone elaborate a little bit more just what is CRISPR.
Now to this story, revolutionary technology that can edit genetic mistakes is getting attention and scrutiny this morning. CRISPR could help rid us of diseases like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and even HIV and cancer. Think about that.
And what is CRISPR? First of all, it's an acronym. It stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats, a huge mouthful. You can see why we use the acronym CRISPR.
So I'm sorry, what's CRISPR again?
Geneticist Jennifer Doudna gets asked that question a lot. A researcher and professor at UC Berkeley, Doudna has become a spokesperson for a gene editing technology she's credited with developing, that mouthful known as CRISPR.
I've heard it compared to essentially like a film editor, slicing a bit of film. I would say that's a great analogy.
How does that work then?
Think about a film strip. You see a particular segment of the film that you want to replace. If you had a film splicer, you would go in and literally cut it out and piece it back together, maybe with a new clip. Imagine being able to do that in the genetic code, the code of life. You could go in and snip out a piece and replace it with something that corrects a mutation that would cause disease.
That's incredible.
CRISPR has generated immense excitement because it's fast, cheap, and can cut and paste genetic code with great precision. It used to take months or years to alter a single gene. Now, that can be done in a matter of days.
Could it end cancer?
What I'm excited about there is the potential to use the CRISPR technology to program a patient's immune system to recognize tumor cells in a precise way.
Could it cure, at some point, virtually any disease?
Any disease that has a genetic basis is something that could be treated using the CRISPR technology.
And imagine, Doudna says we could expect to see clinical applications of CRISPR within the next few years.
This is no longer science fiction.
So this is so exciting. Tell us what's been done so far in animals, for example.
CRISPR has been used to design plants with useful traits in them. So it's already been used in agriculture. You used it to cure mice of a rare liver disorder caused by a single genetic mutation. Researchers in China have used this to produce super muscle dogs. So we're at the beginning, is sort of the promise of this, right? This is the future of disease, is gene editing.
Pastor Billy Crone, again, being presented as sort of the answer to everything, obviously it has a very dark side.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one thing they didn't mention is they've also been already doing it on humans, babies and adults, not just plants and animals. That's a good analogy that they shared about this technology. It's like a film strip. People are familiar with the DNA, and they see it's got all these little strands in it, the genetic code that God designed. So basically, they figured out how they can slice and dice. I could take out this little piece and put it back together and see what happens with that, or I can take out a piece and I can insert another from some other organism and do that. And let me share with you real quick, Jen, here's what they're saying this is going to provide, and then I'm going to share with why it can't provide. This is one example. They say this is why we need to go down this route and alter humanity and basically repeat the days of Noah. They say you enter a wellness center, and the receptionist greets you, and you say you're here for your annual restoration. Though your real age is 110, you would like to be restored to the age of 20-something. So the nurse injects you with the genome solution through your skin, and now you're, quote, set for another year. And they say this scenario may sound like something out of science fiction, but experts predict that it's coming sooner than later. They go on to say that it will also allow you to destroy any harmful pathogen and repair any faulty DNA. It could correct problems like heart disease and cancer, and it could repair the aging process. It could also strengthen and enhance other parts of the body. It could restore aging bones or muscles or eyesight and teeth to a biologically perfect state. And listen to this. The added capacity would allow a person to run at full speed for 15 minutes without taking a breath. No more huffing and puffing. And they said, one day we will say goodbye to aging and hello to forever being young and healthy. And they predict it could appear in clinical trials by the mid-2020s. This is not far off. This is what they're really working towards. Why did I say it's not going to lead there? Because what they're already finding out is that the DNA structure in all of life that God designed is so complex that it's not as simplistic as they're pitching it. They say, if we could take the DNA strand out that a person could end up with cancer, they will just take it out and they'll never get cancer. Yay! Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is it's so complex. They're now learning that single strand could have the propensity to produce cancer, but it did 13 other positive things that the human needs for survival, but you just took it out. And by the way, when you take it out, you can't put that strand back in. So you forever altered the human line and its irreversible changes. Okay. And basically the geneticist that we interviewed admits that these people, again, there's no regulation with this. They don't even know what they're doing. They're entering into it with this Pollyannish attitude. An analogy that we used in the interview was, can you imagine if you let a chimpanzee try to steer the space shuttle? And that's what these people are doing. They think that they know how to manipulate the DNA. The DNA from God is so complex that they don't know in totality what it does, and they're messing up God's design.
You also get into the genetic makeup altering with vaccines. You can deal with or try to treat mental illnesses and cancers. You can induce some of this with some of the vaccine shenanigans that are going on. And I really want to get into that because that's become a very, very hot topic. We're vaccine conscious now that there's talk of a COVID vaccine that's going to become mandatory. You talk about that. If we don't get to that in this hour, we'll get to that perhaps first thing in our follow-up program next week. But I came across an article here just a day or two ago. Let me read two short paragraphs. Japan approves groundbreaking experiment bringing human-animal hybrids to term. Stem cell biologist so-and-so has been waiting for this moment for more than a decade. After years of planning, the persistent researcher has at last received approval from a government willing to pursue one of the most controversial scientific studies there is, human-animal embryo experiments. Again, folks, I just saw this yesterday online article. Goes on to say, I'm only reading two paragraphs, while many countries around the world have restricted, defunded, or outright banned these ethically fraught practices, Japan has now officially lifted the lid on this proverbial Pandora's box. Earlier this year, the country made it legal to not only transplant hybrid embryos into surrogate animals, but also to bring them to term. And it concludes, the ultimate goal is a long way off, but the next step in his research has at last been given the green light by ministry officials in Japan. As the first researcher to receive government approval since the 2014 ban, the gentleman's name is Nakauchi, plans on taking things slowly so that public understanding and trust can catch up. And I think what you brought out in your 16 DVD presentation, over 30 actual teachings, Billy Crone, is some countries are ahead of other countries. Some of the Western countries, America and parts of Europe, probably going to hold back a little bit on this. There are other countries, China particularly, they could care less about violating any kind of codes or standards. They're pressing ahead.
Absolutely. And basically every developed country is already engaged in this kind of behavior, including the human-animal hybrid aspect, believe it or not. In fact, we even document as far back as 2011, in print, they admitted just in the UK, there was already 150 animal hybrid experiments already being done. They have new terms for it. If you're looking in the print, they're now calling them parahumans, or P-A-R-A, parahumans, or humanimals, believe it or not. which is kind of weird now. It's like, well, this is starting to sound like that movie, The Island of Dr. Moreau. You're absolutely right, except it's not a movie anymore. It's our reality. But we have on tape too, Jen, that there are certain countries that are even further along. And the reason why is because they come from communist, godless countries with an evolutionary mindset. Now, we have evolution over here in America, but we still have a little bit of a Judeo-Christian right. ethic that kind of pulls in the reins a little bit, even though we're doing it too. But there's a little bit of a hesitancy, like, I don't know, man, that's just going a little bit too far. Not in China and South Korea. You also mentioned Japan. But basically, like China and Korea, you're dealing with communist countries, certainly North Korea. But China, we got them on tape interviewing these scientists. In fact, one guy asked the question. He says, why is China so far ahead in this technology? And he brought up the issue about the West. They still believe that there's a God and that this is, in fact, playing God. And the look on the Chinese scientist is priceless. He basically looks at the guy like, are you a wacko? God, excuse me.
Yeah.
And he just mocks him. And that's the problem, Jen, is we're living in an evolutionary, godless society. Some countries have taken it even further than us because they want to be God, because they don't believe there's a God. They don't think there's anybody to be accountable to, which makes me wonder, was that the same mindset back in the days of Noah?
I would say it was the same mindset as the days of Noah, which is the purpose of this program and next week, because of the teaching found in the 16-DVD set titled Hybrid Super Soldiers and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. One more clip this hour. We'll play some more next week, because this talks about we can actually remove experiences from the brain. Folks, you talk about playing God. This is stunning and staggering how man wants to play God. You can possibly control memories and thoughts. It's not something that's going to happen in 10, 20, 30 years. It's in process.
When times get tough, do you ever wish you could just push that reset button and just start all over again? We've all thought it.
Flush, right?
Yeah, we've all thought about it and wish we could do it from time to time. But be careful what you wish for, because scientists are now working to make these wishes a reality.
It may sound like something out of a science fiction film, but believe it or not, scientists are working on implanting microchips into human brains to delete memories. Prototypes for the chip are allegedly being tested on epilepsy patients in hospitals with good results. But the creator hopes to one day expand this chip, not just for the sick, but for the healthy population, where users could remove experiences and, get this, buy new ones. The chip is predicted to be as common as cell phones in the future. Are you ready?
About it, that maybe there is a use to try to eliminate those bad thoughts,
PTSD,
bad
memories,
divorce,
rape,
whatever.
Severe trauma.
This whole area of functional brain surgery, whether it be a chip, whether it be brain stimulation, I mean, this is an area that is evolving at a crazy rate. I remember when Neil Martin, the neurosurgeon, was on, he said, just wait, Drew, the time is coming. We're going to control so many of these behaviors, obesity.
Right.
For example, he said, we're going to control it all through the brain.
This is Westworld-esque, you know, with all the someone in a control room somewhere controlling your memories, controlling your thoughts.
It's creepy.
This is very creepy.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to wrap up hour one. We're going to continue this next week. Let me just make a couple of comments here. How has Hollywood prepared the way for all of this? How many of you have seen, I think we all have, probably mainly in the movie theater, but these days we bring the movie theaters into our homes in various ways as well. They've paved the way. They've prepared us. They've simply put out a perfect pathway for us to walk right into this little snare of accepting what we're hearing here. Some of the Hollywood movies. You can find this series of DVDs, The Hybrid Super Soldiers and the Coming Genetic Apocalypse. And what about genetics? I have a little role in this presentation. I was in California in January. Pastor Crone and I talked for an hour. We have the DVD in this series about genetics. How have genetics been abused and misused? Genetics will often lead to extermination. It happened in Nazi Germany. Everyone accepted it very well under Adolf Hitler. Is that coming back? Probably. There's a lot more. I teased just a moment ago that we have to hit the topic of vaccines, because there are some genetic makeup that can be altered with vaccines. I think that is a very, very timely thing when we consider the fact that we're being told almost every day now that to cope with COVID-19, you're going to have to get a vaccine. It's also suggested that our genetic makeup can be altered with such a vaccine. What are we going to do with that? Well, that's also part of Pastor Billy Crone's discussion in this presentation, which we will continue next week, folks. I want to go out of the program here. I haven't used this little saying in a long time. I think it's appropriate because the purpose of these two presentations this week and next week is to remind you of the lateness of the hour. The lateness of the hour and the importance of naming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If so, then you go with the church in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, escape the tribulation, where all of this blossoms like you cannot believe. This is just a precursor what we're seeing now. So I'd like to go out of the program every now and then with this little saying, encouraging you to look back and thank Him, to look around and serve Him, to look ahead and trust Him. Always look up and expect Him. He is coming again, sooner rather than later. Thank you for joining me. We'll come back next week on part two with Pastor Billy Crone.
We can only cope with our perilous times by knowing that God has things under control, that He has an end time plan that is in play, that nothing is falling apart, and that all things are falling into place. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We're going to continue our discussion with Pastor Billy Crone next week, so be sure to join us then.